Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Amen. While I was in college, I had a job working at a wilderness camp, and one of my occasional tasks was to perform security checks on remote campsites. I would walk into the campsite by myself late at night, well after dark, with a flashlight to guide my way. Some of the sites were a 10 or 15 minute walk away from the road. Now, this was before the advent of cell phones. I had no two-way radio. There was not another living soul for miles around. And this might have been quite pleasant. I quite like being by myself in the out-of-doors. Maybe a nice late night walk in the quiet woods with no one to bother me. Except the reason that I was checking these particular campsites is that they had all been closed due to recent visits by problem bears scavenging food from campers. It was on one such walk through the trees that it all of a sudden hit me just how utterly alone I was. If I was attacked by a bear, no one would hear my screams. If I had an accident, if I stumbled in the dark and broke a bone, no one would even start a search for 9 or 10 hours. But it was more than just knowing that I was alone. I had this existential moment in which I felt utterly alone. I was on my own. I have never experienced the same thing before or since. Probably many of you can recall a time when you felt alone. And for all of our attempts to avoid it, loneliness is a part of the human condition. We have all felt deeply lonely at one time or another. Perhaps for some that is your experience now. During this current time of pandemic and isolation, there is a very great danger that we will feel alone in a way which overwhelms us. One of the reasons that we call Good Friday good is that it reminds us that, ironically, when it comes to loneliness, we are not alone. It is on Good Friday that we see the full extent of Jesus' loneliness. And that is important, especially in this time of pandemic-induced isolation. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? These are the words of Jesus spoken from the cross as recorded in Matthew's gospel. I have heard these words hundreds of times and I never get used to them. It is hard for me to hear them read without a chill running up and down my spine. We sense when we hear them that they are important words, words filled with big and important content. On one level, we relate to them. All of us have at one time or another wondered if God has forsaken us. And so we find our own voice in the voice of Jesus. One author I read called this cry an echo chamber that holds within it all the bloody history of the suffering of the world. On perhaps another level, we sense mystery here. We're not sure how to take these words. How could Jesus, the Word made flesh, who dwells with the Father and the Holy Spirit in perpetual Trinitarian community, be lonely? Did the Father really forsake Jesus? Could it be that God the Father, as some theologians have speculated, really did completely turn away because he was unwilling or unable to look on the human sin that Jesus carried to the cross? If so, how could the Father turn away without doing damage to the Trinity? Or did Jesus just feel like the Father had turned away from him, even though he hadn't? But doesn't this felt absence also divide the Trinity? How can Jesus believe this about the Father and still be one with him in essence? There is mystery here, and such questions have been the subject of speculation and discussion and vigorous debate and disagreement among Christian theologians for centuries, and it's certainly beyond the pale of a 15-minute homily to solve them here this morning. But sometimes, when we are perplexed by all that we don't know, it can be really helpful to remind ourselves of what we do know. So what do we know? We know that theologians call these words the cry of dereliction, or sometimes the cry of desolation. We know that Jesus was quoting from the Old Testament, from the 22nd Psalm, the Psalm which was beautifully chanted for us today. It is likely that Jesus had memorized this psalm as a child. According to New Testament scholar R.T. France, it was common for rabbis in Jesus' day to quote the first verse of a psalm as a way of invoking the entire psalm. And so we would do well to consider these words in the broader context of all of the 22nd Psalm. We know that Psalm 22 is a psalm of lament. It expresses deep sorrow in the midst of struggle and pain, along with a request for God's blessing or intervention. We know that Jesus was not the first person to use these words. They had been recited before by countless thousands of the people of God when they were in deep trouble. We know that even though almost all of the New Testament is recorded in the Greek language, these words are preserved for us in Aramaic, which is the actual language that Jesus would have spoken. As a result, we can almost hear his voice saying them from the cross. We know that there is a sort of a contradiction in these words. Did you pick it up? On one hand, my God, speaks to this closeness. He's calling out to a God that he has known. He is taking God the Father to himself. This is a cry of faith. On the other hand, why have you forsaken me? Speaks to a distance, a profound fear, an absence of the experience of God's presence. But, and this is important, it is still a prayer. He is still calling out to the God whose presence he can't feel. What does all this mean? Well, for one thing, it means that Jesus was really and truly human. He experienced this moment as a profound human existential sense of total abandonment, a loneliness just like ours, but worse. There is an ongoing challenge for all who ponder the mystery of Christ's incarnation, especially those of us with a high Christology. No matter how hard we try to avoid it, when we imagine Jesus as both God and man, we frequently allow the divinity of Christ to overwhelm and even override his humanity. The cry of dereliction prevents us from doing that. It shows us Jesus' humanity. It shows us that he really struggled in this moment to follow God, just as we struggle to follow God. And that struggle was really important to the work that Jesus was doing on the cross. Dr. Preston Hill notes the following: Jesus clearly struggled through painful feelings to put his trust in the Father. Christ wanted the things that we want when we suffer. He wanted relief. Nevertheless, he obeyed God's will and trusted God's goodness as a human. He goes on, in sum, Christ's cry, my God, why have you forsaken me, signals his incessant union with humanity in the totality of its alienation, so that as a genuine member of the human race, he could render a trust and obedience toward God that redeems us. So Jesus endured the worst of human loneliness. And it is one thing to be lonely when you were just by yourself, as my little kind of quaint example at the beginning of this sermon. It is quite another thing, a much worse thing, to be totally alone when you are in a crowd. And that is what Jesus experienced. He was beaten. He was scourged. He was bullied. And he was mocked. And what is mockery but the intentional cutting of someone out of human community? When you are bullied, you are with people, but you don't belong. Jesus was stripped naked, a move designed to heighten shame. And then he was placed on a cross. And here is the ugliest and most extreme form of social distancing in human history. No contact. They had to use a long stick and a sponge when he was thirsty. The only other thing that touched him was a spear through his side. He was cut off from all human contact. Why was this necessary? Elizabeth Browning, in the poem Cooper's Grave, says it like this. Yea, once Emmanuel's orphaned cry his universe hath shaken. It went up single, echoless, my God, I am forsaken. It went up from the Holy's lips amid his lost creation, that of the lost no son should use those words of desolation. Among the things Jesus took upon himself on the cross was this very human existential loneliness, and it was crucified along with him there. His loneliness bought us the possibility of true fellowship with God and with each other. And we see through the rest of the crucifixion narrative, Jesus' heroic struggle to continue to love even though he can't feel God's presence. It is from the God-forsaken cross that he loves his mother Mary by charging John with her care. It is from the God-forsaken cross that he loves the thief hanging next to him. This day you will be with me in paradise. It is from the God-forsaken cross that he loves even his tormentors. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And ironically, it is at the cross, the loneliest place in all of human history, that we learn that God has not forsaken us at all. Rather, he has entered into our human condition and redeemed it. He can meet us in our loneliness because he has been lonely too. Furthermore, we can fight through our own loneliness. We can still love at a distance. Jesus showed us how while isolated on the cross. So take heart this Good Friday. Wherever we may be, whether we are walking through the woods late at night afraid of the bears, or sitting in our lonely apartment in the midst of COVID-induced self-isolation, Good Friday reminds us that God is with us. We are not alone. After all, we are never alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.